Blog Talk Radio.
You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other help I know.
Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. This radio show is dedicated to spreading the truth of God's Word, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're grateful that you are tuning in to our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We ask that you would take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you would like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns for any of my special guests on this radio show, you can send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. Give me a call to the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your immediate area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just so grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day. We thank you for putting it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast at this point in time, and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, praise you will be my co-host on this evening, Steve Cordell. We pray that you'll continue to bless his efforts to sow the seed of the kingdom and bless his family as they support his efforts as well. Father, we pray a special prayer this time for the families who are in the Florida area who will soon be affected by this hurricane that is headed their way. Father, we pray that you would give them what they need to sustain them during this time of storm. Father, we pray that you will be with our listeners as they listen to the broadcast this evening. We pray that their hearts may be pricked, that they may hear something that will cause them to consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. Father, we pray that you would continue to bless all of our efforts as we continue to bring lost souls to Jesus, for nothing can be more important than that. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus and his precious sacrifice on Calvary, for we recognize without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and love us and keep us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you will save us. For us in Christ's name, we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. Got a great show lined up for you on this evening. My special guest speaker in the first segment will be Steve Cordell from the Gospel Light Radio Show. Certainly appreciate Steve. This was a last-minute notification for Steve. I had another speaker planned for the show tonight, but due to a death at that particular congregation, he cannot make it tonight, and I certainly appreciate him his willingness to come on the broadcast and bring us a lesson anyway. And I certainly thank Steve for his willingness to step up at the last minute and make this show happen tonight. Certainly appreciate him. And in the second segment, in the community corner, we have my special guest, Thomas Dickerson. He'll be talking to us about life insurance tonight. Looking forward to hearing Thomas' presentation on the broadcast. And then in the third segment of the show, I'll be bringing a lesson to close out the show as well. So thank you all for tuning in to What a Word from the Lord. Open your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. The next voice you hear after this song will be that of my special guest speaker, Steve Cordell. Enjoy the show.
Roll Jordan, roll.
Roll Jordan,
roll.
Roll Jordan,
roll.
Roll Jordan.
I wanna go to heaven when I die.
To roll Jordan, roll.
Oh, roll.
Roll Jordan,
roll. Roll Jordan,
roll. Roll Jordan,
roll.
Roll Jordan,
roll.
Roll Jordan.
I wanna go to heaven when I die.
To roll Jordan, roll.
I'll say, Mother, you ought to been there.
Oh, Mother, you ought to been there.
Lord, Mother, you ought to been there.
To roll Jordan, roll.
Lord,
roll.
Roll Jordan,
roll.
I wanna go to heaven when I die.
To roll Jordan, roll.
I'll say, Father, you ought to been there.
Oh, Father, you ought to been there.
Lord, Father, you ought to been there.
To roll Jordan, roll.
Lord, roll.
Roll Jordan,
roll.
Roll Jordan,
roll.
Roll Jordan.
I wanna go to heaven when I die.
To roll Jordan, roll.
I say, Sister, you ought to been there.
Oh, Sister, you ought to been there.
Well, Sister, you ought to been there.
To roll Jordan, roll.
Lord, roll.
Roll Jordan,
roll.
Roll Jordan,
roll.
Roll Jordan.
I wanna go to heaven when I die.
Roll Jordan, roll.
Lord, roll.
Roll
Jordan,
roll. Roll Jordan,
roll.
Roll Jordan,
roll.
Roll Jordan.
I wanna go to heaven when I die.
Roll Jordan, roll.
Lord, brother, you ought to have been there.
Oh, brother, you ought to have been there.
Oh, brother, you ought to have been there.
To roll, Jordan, roll.
Oh,
roll,
roll,
roll, roll,
roll,
roll,
roll,
roll, roll, roll.
I want to go to heaven when I die. Christian, you ought to have been there.
Oh, Christian, you ought to have been there.
Well, Christian, you ought to have been there.
To roll, Jordan, roll.
Oh, roll,
roll,
Jordan,
roll.
Roll, Jordan,
roll. Roll, Jordan,
roll.
Roll, Jordan.
I want to go to heaven when I die.
Roll, Jordan, roll.
Roll,
Jordan,
roll. Said I want to go to heaven when I die.
To all John.
Listening to What a Word from the Lord. Now, my special guest speaker, Steve Cordo, and his subject, Encouragement for Life's Problems, Lessons from a Storm.
Good evening, Stevie, and to the listening audience, and thank you for this opportunity to be able to share a lesson with the audience. And got something right in our lap. Well, actually over our heads, if you want to look at it that way. A storm coming through, and I'm in the Florida panhandle, so I'm keeping a close eye on the weather. But a question to think about before a storm comes is your anchor set to hold? There's a song that's in a lot of songbooks that asks the question, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? And then the chorus says, we have an anchor that keeps us secure, steadfast and sure. And I forget the rest of the words. But anyway, it's a question that we need to think about before the storm, just like you need to be thinking about getting your furnace fixed before the winter sets in, or the air conditioning before the summer sets in. And this lesson actually came out of some conversations I've had with some people. And in one sense, it's an answer, but not the definitive answer to a question and to some sermon requests that I get from time to time. And by the way, preachers love sermon requests. That way we know at least one person is interested in the sermon that morning, so never be afraid to give one. And because it is hurricane season and we're having to deal with these storms through this time of year, I want us to think about that for just a little bit. Now, right now we've got Hurricane Michael that's coming through as a physical storm. And many people have to face physical storms like hurricanes or tornadoes, but we also face storms in a metaphorical or a figurative sense by the rough times that we go through. And going through times of trouble is really nothing new, even for God's people. Now, I've heard people who profess to be Christians who will announce good and loud that Christians don't have problems, that everything is, it works out for us, and that's just simply not true. The Bible is filled with historical accounts of people in trouble. The Hebrew children had their fiery furnace. Daniel had to deal with a lion's den. Paul was shipwrecked. Peter in prison. Samson had his eyes put out. But in the 81st Psalm, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. We have passages like this and other ones in Scripture because God has put them there. Because we have a God who knows that we need chances to express our disappointments. You see, God wants that real connection with us. And there are times, though, when relationships go through rough patches. Happens in marriages. Happens in business. And don't hide from God what you are feeling. I mean, God wants to know. He knows already. You might as well just tell him. He's big enough to hear it, even if it's a complaint. And when storms come our way, they can show us many things about ourselves. They can show us the nature of my faith or the level of my maturity. And as we consider how to take encouragement, even in tough times, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll see an unlikely place here we can take encouragement. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound in the glory of God." You see, if you remember Charlie Brown once building a beautiful sandcastle, worked on it for hours, he stands back and is admiring it, and then a wave comes in and flattens it. And he sits there and thinks about it, and he says, "Well, I know there's a lesson in this, but I'm just not sure what it is." Well, here, let me see if I can help the Charlie Browns out. We can learn how to respond to storms. You know, there was a minister, and I've done this with people too, addressing a group of men, took a large piece of paper and made a black dot in the center of it and with a marking pen. And then he held it up to the group and said, "What do you see?" One of them said, "Well, I see a black mark." "That's right," said the preacher. "Anything else?" There was complete silence. The preacher asked again, "Do you see anything other than the dot?" And men are looking at each other, shaking their heads. He said, "I'm really surprised, gentlemen. You have completely overlooked the most important thing of all, the sheet of paper." See, in life, a lot of times we get distracted by those small dot-like disappointments and painful experiences. We end up forgetting the blessings that the Lord has given us. But like that sheet of paper, the good things are far more important than the problems that might grab our attention. Someone once wrote that as you travel down life's pathways, may this ever be your goal. Keep your eye on the donut and not the donut hole. To realize the worth of our anchor, we have got to feel the storms. Luke chapter 6, he says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you what he is like. He's like the man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock." Jesus is telling the disciples and us, you know, that everybody has storms. The house owner who built on solid ground was living the word. But notice, he's still in the storm. And sometimes, you know the old saying, the Lord calms the storm. Sometimes he lets the storm rage and he calms the believer. Proverbs 10 says, "When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation." And if you have the NIV, it says, "When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm." So are there ups and downs for the Christian? Absolutely. Will friends sometimes drop you or shoot arrows at your heart? Yes, they will. Will there come tests of your faith when feelings have to be put aside and only a foundational faith will sustain you? Well, the answer to that is yes. So how do we prepare for it? Well, I can tell you that the same God that you worship in the light is the same one to reach for in the night, because God is always there with you. And this is also where we can learn the strength of God. Look back at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us." See, a lot of times we look at this passage, our focus is on treasure. on the great things God has given us, but I want us to look at the vessel, that simple container of clay. It's a weak vessel. And notice, though, God is not afraid to house the revelation of his glory in a human vessel. He masters the storm. He provides the grace to overcome all of our imperfections. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, God is glorified through weakness. Paul says in that chapter, when I am weak, he is strong. Just think, that's what Paul talks about, the thorn in his flesh. We really don't know what that was, and it's not really important that we know what it is. But if you notice why he was given it, it was basically to keep him humble. And when in spite of human weaknesses, our frail human vessel shines forth the incredible power of God that surpasses human understanding, because all the glory belongs to God. And maybe something you're going through right now is to keep you humble, to teach a lesson in humility. And we can also learn the work of hope. 2 Corinthians 4, go back to verse 8. We are hard pressed, he says, on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Let's break this down. Look at verse 8. We are hard-pressed, he says, or we are troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. Paul freely admitted he had been hard-pressed and perplexed. How many teachers would stand in front of their class and say that and admit to being confused because they're afraid they might lose respect to their audience? Paul didn't care. He didn't shrink from admitting his own weaknesses. Then he says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. He reminds us that although we may think we're at the end of the rope, we're never at the end of hope. And our perishable bodies are subject to sin and suffering. And because Christ has won the victory over death, we have eternal life. We can overcome because God never abandons us. And then look at verse 9. He says we're persecuted but not forsaken. This is actually a racing term that means pursued but not overtaken. Paul uses a word that would be used for an animal or a hunter tracking down prey. So he's picturing himself as being hunted down, but he says God never abandoned him. Struck down or were cast out, but we're not destroyed. And then Paul sums up our existence here on earth in realistic terms. Now, while we share in the same troubles that the world has, we can thank God that we will overcome those. We are pressed on all sides, but never crushed. Life has its struggles. Remember what Jesus told about the man building on the firm foundation. He's got the same storm as the one building on the flimsy foundation. When it rains, the wheat farmer on one side of the road, or the cotton farmer, or the peach farmer, whatever his crop is, the Christian on the one side of the road is going to get the same rain and the same sunshine as the heathen farmer across the street. This storm that is coming through, there's Christians in its path, there are atheists, there are people all across the spectrum of faith. We're all sitting here in the path, or maybe we've already gotten out. But the point being is we are going to have the storm hit. Being a Christian isn't going to save us. Life has its struggles that we have to overcome. We are troubled on every side, he says in verse 9. And one key to a successful life is to understand that troubles do come to everyone. You know that preachers have problems too? Elders, deacons? We all have the same problems that you have. There are times we don't know how we're going to pay our bills. There are times that we have issues with our kids or with our spouses, just like you do. Whatever you have to deal with in life, we have to deal with. Whatever you have to deal with in life, your teacher in school dealt with. Whatever you're dealing with, your friends, your neighbors are dealing with. If you think there are no troubles in life, well, you're setting yourself up for another fall, because that is one of the things in life we have to do, is to overcome troubles. And troubles do not come from any one single source. The Bible says they come from every side. Now, they'll even come from church people sometimes. They'll even come from your kids, the boss, the bank, from your spouse. See, when you understand life is not trouble-free, then you've got the correct view, the right view. I read about a man named Clyde Gordon who was completely paralyzed from the neck down, and for a time he edited a magazine called The Triumph. And in it he said that Christ is no security against storms, but he is perfect security in storms. He does not promise an easy passage, but he does guarantee a safe landing. So does your trouble show the hope that lies within you? What's the great line? People are like tea bags. If you want to know what's inside them, put them in hot water. And then there are some opportunities in problem times. For instance, these are times you can draw closer to God. They can have, problems can have a dual nature to them. They can have the two polar opposite effects. One is that they draw us closer to God, or they might repel us to God, or away from God, rather. The difference in the two really depends on us. You see, if we try to rationalize our problems or blame them on God, we lose the opportunity of increased fellowship with Him. When we give our problems over to the Lord and surrender it to Him and to His grace, we can have His strength for moving on. And then problem times have the potential to build faith. You can use problem times as stepping stones, the storms of life, whether it is a real hurricane or a real tornado, or whether maybe it's the prospect you may be out of a job because of whatever reason, economic reasons, or your company's going out of business. Here's a time for you to show the potential, or have the potential, to build your faith. Problems can also produce character. It's been said that character is who we are when no one else is looking, or a personality is what we are in the best of times, but character is what we are in the worst of times. Problems can develop that character. And then lessons learned from problem times can help us encourage others. Problems cause us to experience a number of things that nothing else does. And while these are negative, there are negatives in the midst of problems, God has a way of taking the good and the bad in our lives and make it work together. Romans 8:28 and 29 is another lesson for another time, but it is usually misquoted by people. It's been quoted to say, something good will come out of everything, or everything works out for the good. It's not what it says. It says that God causes all things to work together for the good of them who love God. So the good and the bad work together for the good of them who love God, to conform them to the image of His Son. That's a short answer there. Maybe another time I'll do a lesson on Romans 8:28. But we do have the ability to get encouragement and to let experiences help us to grow. And then from troubled times, whether it's a real storm or a figurative one, we have the ability to have greater sympathy for those in similar situations. Those who have the ability to relate best to those who are going through problems have already been there. Years ago, I had a friend they were living in a rural area and didn't have the best of medical care. His wife was expecting their first child, and the baby was breached, and the umbilical cord was around the neck. And it had a happy ending. He was born. In fact, he's a gospel preacher now. He's well into his 30s. But it wasn't long after that that there was somebody in their community who had almost the exact same issue with their pregnancy. And so my friends were able to help. Hey, you need to go and see this particular doctor. Here's the questions you need to ask. Here's what you need to do. He was really able to provide some good assistance. And that's one example, or one rather, benefit to going through trials. And remember when Joseph finally revealed himself to his brother in Genesis, he told them, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." Remember, he was unjustly accused after trying to rape Potiphar's wife, and that was after being sold into slavery. And he spent time in prison, but when he got out, he ended up becoming what we would today call the prime minister, the number two man in Egypt. And he was able to interpret dreams and then was able to help prepare for a famine. So there are going to come storms in life. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're an atheist, Buddhist, whatever your faith group is. But God, understand this, God is at work in your life. Even when you don't recognize it or understand it, He's in the storm with you. And He's calling you to rise above it. To be a water walker, not a boat person. So keep your eyes on Him during the storms, whether you're waiting for Hurricane Michael or whether you're out of that danger zone, but you've got other things going on in your life that have nothing to do with meteorology. We are not faithless or without hope. God is a way maker. Even when we are lost in the wilderness, He will make a way. Psalm 121 says, I look unto the hills from where comes my strength, and my help comes from the Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, Stevie, and we'll have prayers for everyone else, too, who's in the eye of this storm, and we pray for safety for them and pray for everyone to come through it. Thank you very much.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events or activities announced on this broadcast, please give me a call at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405 or send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. On August the 4th through the 9th, 2019, the Northside Church of Christ will be the official host of the 2019's Florida State Lectureship of the Churches of Christ in conjunction with the Jacksonville congregations. On October the 18th through the 20th, 2018, the 2018 Midwest Lectureship will be held at the Cincinnati Marriott North, and that address is 6189 Mulhausen Road, Westchester, Ohio, 45069. For registration information, please visit the website at www.midwestlectureship.net. For hotel reservations, please call 1-877-739-9460. The Nuremberg Church of Christ, located in Louisville, Kentucky, is currently seeking a full-time minister. Please submit all inquiries to the Nuremberg COC at gmail.com. Candidates will be forwarded a job description and an application packet. Complete, please submit along with the candidate's resume, references, and doctrinal philosophy, and a sample audio or video recording of a sermon. On November the 24th through the 25th, 2018, the 25th anniversary celebration will be held at the East Glen Park Church of Christ, and that address is 505 East 45th Avenue, Gary, Indiana. On Saturday, November 24th at 7 p.m., the theme of this meeting anniversary will be a joyful celebration, inspirational songs. On Sunday, November 25th, there will be a worship service at 10:15 a.m. There will be an anniversary dinner served at 12:30 p.m. There will be a program at 2:30 p.m. The guest speaker will be James Burris from the Higbee Street Church of Christ in Jackson, Mississippi. The guest song leader will be Joseph Hope from Los Angeles, California. For more information, please call 219-884-8405. On October the 7th through the 10th, 2018, the 20th annual gospel meeting will be held at the Niagara Falls Church of Christ. And that address is 2011 Tennessee Avenue, Niagara Falls, New York. And the theme of their meeting will be prioritizing our preferences. And the guest speaker will be Ruben Rivera. This scheduled service will be Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Lunch will be served at 10 at 1 p.m. and afternoon service at 3 p.m. and their song service at 4 p.m. The nightly service will run from Monday through Wednesday at 7 p.m. And just to remind you, Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio on the first Monday of each month. We're doing a special edition for the Gospel Light Radio Show. One of my co-hosts will be bringing a lesson on that broadcast. And then each Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord, radio show. And each week we have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And also have the Community Corner. That segment is for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services that they're offering to our communities. And also my co-host, Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York, will be presenting a lesson from God's Word as well. Also, on Thursday night, the Gospel Light Radio Show will air from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And on that broadcast, I have 9 co-hosts who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week on that show, I have 2 of my co-hosts who will be on the air with me. And I'm also taking some questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media, Facebook. And I'm posing 2 of those questions to my co-hosts on that broadcast. And then on Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. In the first week of each month, we're doing the Story Glory segment where we're interviewing artists. We're debuting new music, featuring old music. And the second week, my daughter, Tati B, she's co-hosting with me on that show. I let her do my whole playlist. And the third week, I'm doing the Top 20 Countdown show. And then the fourth week, we're doing the Talent Search show. I give my listeners 60 seconds to stand on the world stage and sing their song. First and second place prizes will be awarded by my special guest judges. And then once a quarter, we're doing the Marathon show. That's a three-hour show, or whatever group of artists that we're featuring on that show. If you are an artist and you would like to have your music played on any of my radio shows, just send me your MP3 formatted tracks via Dropbox, and my email is srbutler1009@yahoo.com. You can now listen to all my shows, on-demand episodes, through my affiliate internet stations. You can listen through Spotify, through iHeartRadio, through iTunes, through acaradio.net, through iWave Radio, through mccbroadcasting.com, through ivcbroadcasting.com, through YouTube. Go to my YouTube channel and type in Stevie R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B. And you can also go to YouTube and see the Church TV Network and type in their playlist, Acapella Radio. You'll be able to see the audio versions of my shows. Also, go to my website, Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com, and type my name in the search bar, Stevie R. Butler, and you'll be able to see my on-demand episodes, and also go to World of Acapella. Also, I'd like to thank my sponsors for sponsoring this broadcast. Sharon Norwood, she lives in Chicago, Illinois, and her company is Organo, and their slogan is a health product for healthier living. And also my sponsor, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch. She lives in Nashville, Tennessee. Certainly appreciate them for sponsoring this broadcast. The three E's of Stevie B's Media Production. It is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, and we want to encourage you. And that will conclude our announcements.
Have you ever had a friend like Jesus who would wash away your sin, make you whole?
Sins and washed
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Community Corner segment, and my special guest in the Community Corner is Thomas Dickerson. Thomas, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing good, brother. Doing good from the great state of Louisiana.
Now, Thomas, I've been waiting a long time to get you on this show.
It's been a minute. We've been trying to get it together.
Yeah, and the reason I say that, because I've been seeing what you've been doing. and you're doing some good stuff, man. So I wanted to bring you on the show and just tell my listeners what services you're providing to the community down there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Absolutely, man. Well, first, I want to thank you for bringing me on to your broadcast. You know, I catch it every now and then. You do a good job of promoting and letting people know what's going on with your show. So I'm glad to be on here. And my name is Thomas Dickerson. I'm a life insurance broker in Baton Rouge. My company is Acadian Insurance Group. Now, I'm a life insurance broker, so that means I don't just use one life insurance company where if they say no, I can't help you. I actually use about 10 different companies. So if one company says no, I got about 10 more that say yes. So that's one difference with a life insurance agent and a life insurance broker. Now, one of my guiding principles is life insurance is the foundation of financial planning. You know, it's what everything else sits on top of. You can be a rich man at a Fortune 500 company, or you can be a man working a 9-to-5 blue collar, but you can afford life insurance. Everybody can afford a life insurance policy to take care of the what if. What if I'm not here to help raise my children? What if I get hurt on the job and I can't work anymore? So anybody can afford a life insurance policy. So that's why I believe it is the bedrock, the foundation of financial planning. Now, me personally, I specialize in what we call senior life insurance. Senior life insurance is a sector of the community that is ages 45 up to 82. Now, I don't disregard the young folks. I'm just 40 years old, but that's why I mainly live at is the 45 to 82 category, because of one thing, the baby boomers. Every day, according to the AARP, 10,000 people a day are turning 65. So we got a lot of people right now who are retiring, coming out of the workforce. They may be on a fixed income, maybe not in the best health. And they may have lost their group life insurance from their job when they was working for 20 years. So a lot of people are entering their 60s without life insurance. And that's kind of where I stay at. And the question I'll ask you and ask your audience is this: who do you know in your family that can write a check for $7,000 to $10,000 to pay for your funeral? Question I ask. Who do you know right now that if you was to drop dead tomorrow, God call you on home to glory, who can write a check to pay for the funeral? Now, if you can name a person in your family that can pay for that funeral, God bless you. But if you can't name somebody who can pay for their funeral, you need life insurance. And the reason why I said $10,000 is because the National Funeral Directors Association, yes, there is an association for funeral directors, and they say that in 2017, the median price for a funeral is somewhere around $7,500. Now, take consideration, we got the United States, so it can be more or less depending on what part of the country you stay in. So that's why I say $7,000 to $10,000 to pay for a funeral. So there's a part of life insurance that's called final expense. A lot of you old timers, you know, folks who live in the South, we call it burial life insurance. These are whole life insurance policies that are made specifically to take care of your final expenses, like a funeral, take care of some credit card expenses. Maybe you left a car note with your spouse. Maybe you want to leave a little lump sum of money to your widow or your widower to make certain that they can get on when you die. Because, little side note, if you and your wife or you and your husband get Social Security, when one of you die, you're going to lose one of those paychecks. So I don't know if any of your listeners know this. If you are a married couple, both of you guys receiving Social Security, one spouse die, you will lose one of those checks. So if there's a life insurance policy in place, that lump sum money can help offset losing that second Social Security check. But those policies are used for burial, Now, the good thing about these policies is this. Oh, let me add this, since this is a religion-related broadcast. You can also name a congregation, a church, as the beneficiary on a life insurance policy. Now, you have to establish a relationship. You have to be able to show that you've been given to this congregation. You guys have a relationship. Just can't say I want to name a church a beneficiary, and you never went there. You never really gave to the congregation. But if the congregation got that paperwork correct, you can show proof that you have an ongoing relationship with this congregation. You can name a congregation as the beneficiary and leave that congregation a nice last gift to that congregation. But these life insurance companies that make that do these burial life insurance policies, they know that you are a little bit older. They know you got some health issues. They know that you may be able to fix income. So these type of insurance policies, and these are companies that you know, Mutual of Omaha, Transamerica, Foresters, Security National Life. There's a lot of life insurance companies that know that you guys need life insurance. So if you got high blood pressure, diabetes, had cancer, they know this already. So it's all based on answers to the health questions. So if you meet with somebody like myself or somebody in your city for burial life insurance, he or she can ask you some health questions. Mainly, you know, have you ever had high blood pressure? Have you ever had diabetes, COPD? And they're going to ask you about your prescriptions. And based on how you answer those questions, they're going to determine which company you have the best chance of qualifying for. Now, if he only uses one life insurance company, then you're going to be kind of up the creek. But if he uses more than one company, he can say, hey, sir, based on your answers, you just had a heart attack a year ago, you're on insulin, this company here would be best suited for you. So he's going to ask you a lot of questions to pinpoint what's going to work for you and get you qualified. So don't worry about your health. That's one thing I run into, Brother Stevie, is that a lot of people I talk to, they think that because they had a health concern, they won't be able to get life insurance. That's not the truth. It's all about how long ago it happened to you and what are the medications that you're taking. That's what's going to be based off of. Now, I try not to be long-winded. You know, I try to get the point across and let you digest it. So once you're qualified for life insurance, it comes in three different flavors. You got day one level life insurance. That just means if it's a $25,000 policy and you're approved, and if you pass away, you're going to give your beneficiary to get the whole $25,000. That's what we call it. We call that day one level. Let's just say you had a stroke 6 months ago or a year ago. You will probably qualify what's called for graded. Graded means this. For the first 2 years, we're not going to give you the full $25,000. We're going to give you what you paid plus interest to your beneficiary. After 2 years, then we'll give you the full amount at a reasonable price. And then finally, you got guaranteed issue. If any of your listeners have been watching TV, you see the Colonial Penn commercials, you see the True Stage, you see all these commercials that are catering to life insurance for people who are over the age of 45 and 60. This is what is called guaranteed issue. What that means is this. If you got a heartbeat and a checking account, they're going to give you a life insurance policy, plain and simple. They don't ask a lot of questions. But in return for that, they're going to charge you a higher price. Now, I do sell those, but I'm going to tell you this. People I sell those type of policies to are those who have dementia, they're in a nursing home, or they have HIV. Those are the people that I generally put into that type of policy because those are the only policies that people with AIDS and people in the wheelchair, people in the nursing home can qualify for. So I don't use, it's not my first choice, but if you got certain health conditions, that's where I'm going to put you at. I also forgot to mention, these policies go from anywhere from $2,000 up to $50,000. My clients average anywhere from $10,000 to about $20,000. That's kind of what a lot of people are going to get their policies at. But long and short, the country's getting older. A lot of our church members, if you go to church, you're going to see a lot of more older members of your congregation. They're in their 60s. A lot of these members may not have life insurance. They may be on a fixed income. They may not have had life insurance since they retired from their job. And it's my job, personally, it's my mission to at least let you know what your options are and see if I can help you in any type of way. I'm primarily licensed in Texas and Louisiana, but if you're outside of those two states, I can still conversate with you and just let you know what your options are. And that's all I had. You know, if you got any questions for me, Brother Stevie, that's on your mind or people may have asked, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
Brother, I certainly appreciate you coming on the Community Corner, man. I tell you, folks really need to bone up on this life insurance. That's some very informative information that you gave us on this segment, man. Good information.
No problem, man. And if you're on Facebook, I can be found at Acadian Insurance Group. You'll see my picture on there, and I have a lot of different videos and different life insurance topics. So if you got a question or maybe you didn't think about something, I do a lot of videos. You can catch up on some things. So that's the quickest way to find me is Acadian Insurance Group on Facebook.
All right, my brother. Certainly appreciate you. I'm going to have you come back on the show in a few months because I think this is something that our listeners need to be aware of on a continuous basis.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for taking the time out for me to come speak to you and your audience.
All right. Thank you, my brother, for joining us in the Community
All
Corner.
Right.
All right. No Ladies and All gentlemen, right. After we come back from the break, I have a lesson from God's Word. Stay tuned for What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler.
Your grace and mercy But thank God.
listening to What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to bring you a lesson from 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 3 through 25. We won't read through those verses because there are so many, but that'll be the lesson text that we'll be using for the lesson today. And it's 2 points that I want to give you from this lesson. The subject that we want to look at is the Witch of Endor. The Witch of Endor. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 3 to 25, ladies and gentlemen, we find the story of King Saul. And King Saul was visiting the Witch of Endor. And her calling Samuel back from the grave was the occasion. This story often confuses people. Did she really call Samuel's spirit back from the grave? Can people talk to the dead today, as some claim and believe? Well, let's look at the first point that we want to consider from our subject, the Witch of Endor. The first point is biblical times that we want to talk about. In 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 7, Saul instructs his servants to locate a woman with a familiar spirit. The Revised Standard Version and the American Standard reads who is a medium in regards to this familiar spirits or medium. The Hebrew word used is a compound word. The first part is the Hebrew word for mistress, not mistress as used today in our society in the United States of America to refer to a female sexual partner, but mistress as used in England to refer to a woman with some authority, such as the mistress of the house or the headmistress at a school. The second part of the word identifies who or what this woman had authority over. It is the Hebrew word for the spirit of a dead person. The word literally means a mistress of the departed spirit of a dead person. It identifies a woman who had some authority over a particular spirit of a dead person. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 11, not only lists women with familiar spirits, but also wizards and necromancers. In verse 12, the Israelites were told that all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. A wizard, the male counterpart to a mistress, was a man who also had authority over the spirit of a dead person. A necromancer is translated from two Hebrew words. The first one means to inquire or ask, and the second, the dead. A necromancer was a person who could talk to dead spirits and ask them questions. Now, were there actual people who could communicate with the spirits of the dead and others who even had authority over them? Well, the answer is, of course, yes. After all, Jesus Christ, our Lord, called Lazarus' spirit back from the grave in John chapter 11 and verse 1. And Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 14 doesn't say that the Israelites were to drive away those who profess to do these things, but those who actually do these things. You see, the people who did such things would definitely be the devil's servants and not God's. It shouldn't be a surprise that the devil might have been able to empower his servants to talk to the dead. After all, he did have the power to miraculously transport Jesus to a pinnacle of the temple and then to an exceedingly high mountain. And not only that, but the devil was also able to enable Jesus to miraculously see all the kingdoms of the world and the glory thereof from one mountaintop in Matthew 4, verses 5 through 8. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil was able to empower Pharaoh's magicians to duplicate the first three miracles that God did through Moses for Pharaoh. Like Moses, they also turned their rods to serpents. They turned water into blood and brought forth frogs in Exodus chapter 7, verses 10 through 12, and Exodus 19, verse 22, and also Exodus chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. There are also numerous accounts of evil spirits taking control of people against their will in the Bible. So which brings us to our second point of this lesson, the Witch of Endor, and that is today. What about today? Today, the time in which we live, are there people today who have familiar spirits? The answer is unequivocally no. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 2 predicts a time when Satan will no longer be allowed to empower people to do such things. Now, I want you to hear me well. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the name of the idols out of the land. They shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. Ladies and gentlemen, the context of this prophecy points to the time of Jesus Christ our Lord shedding his blood on that cruel cross of Calvary. And it shall come to pass, this is Zechariah chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That's Zechariah chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And again, another scripture says in John chapter 19, verses 37 and 38, they shall look on him whom they pierce. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. That's John chapter 19, verses 37 and 38. Ladies and gentlemen, the phrase in that day of Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 2 is not referring to a specific day, but to a specific time, the Christian dispensation. Well, how do we know that? Well, the in that day of the pouring the Spirit of grace in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, is not referring to a specific day, but a specific time, the Christian dispensation, the in that day of the mourning for Jesus' death. In Zechariah chapter 12, verses 11 through 13, is not referring to a specific day, but to a specific time, the Christian dispensation. Also, the in that day of a fountain open for sin and uncleanness in Zechariah 13 and verse 1 is not referring to a specific day, but to a specific period of time, the Christian dispensation. Therefore, we can say without hesitation that the in that day of Zechariah 13 and verse 2 is not referring to a specific day, but to a specific period of time, the Christian dispensation. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian dispensation began with miraculous powers being bestowed upon many of the new converts in Mark 16, verses 17 through 21, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, and also in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. One of these gifts was the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. And Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 2 tells us that that sometime during the Christian dispensation, God was going to cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13, and also Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 13, predicts that when the purpose for the miraculous were accomplished, they would be done away, or as Zechariah puts it, they shall pass out of the land. This happened when the perfect, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10, or the faith, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, the complete revelation from God, the New Testament, was once for all delivered unto the saints, Jude chapter 3. Ladies and gentlemen, the miraculous has ended. That includes prophecy, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. And that is part of what Zechariah prophesied in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 2. Zechariah was prophesying that the time of the possessions of miraculous gifts by Christians from God and the time of possessions of miraculous gifts for Satan's servants from Satan would come to an end. You know, Hardiman Nichols explained it this way. He says, quote, demons' possessions continued after the establishment of the church, as in Acts 16, verse 16 and 17. God was not unfair even to the devil. As long as he used the miraculous, Satan was allowed to use whatever supernatural powers he possessed. God showed supremacy over him in this, and when he concluded his use of miracles, Satan was no longer allowed to inhabit persons against their will. Matthew 12, verse 22 through 29, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, contrary to what some claim, no one can communicate with the dead today. No one has miraculous powers today. No one can be overcome by an evil spirit today. Those days are over and gone. They have passed out of the land. Amen. And I'll see you on the other side of the break.
The hustle of the all of the time. There would be no one to lead the blind. I love to live on a mountain top and be fellowshipping with the Lord. Love to stand on a mountain top, because I love to feel my spirit soar. But I must come down from that mountain top to the people in the valley below. They'll never know that they can go to the mountain of the Lord.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the portion of the broadcast where I would like to extend unto you the Lord's invitation. I don't know who's listening to this program. How can I know? This show is being broadcast all over the world by the grace of God, and we're certainly grateful for the privilege to be able to bring this program to you on a weekly basis. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to do my part in sowing the seed of the kingdom. If you're not a child of God, and one cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian, until you have been born again, as the Bible teaches. Notice I put the emphasis as the Bible teaches. Then you are lost outside of Christ. It's not enough to be religious. You must obey the commands of the Lord. In order for a man to be saved, you must take heed and answer the gospel call. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You must hear the gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 45. Romans chapter 10 verses 14 and 17. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 3. You must believe the same. Hebrews 11, 6. James chapter 2 and verse 44. And James chapter 2 and verse 24 rather. And you must repent, Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. You must be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Acts 10, verse 48, 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 21. And if you are a Christian and you have not been faithful in your service to God, you need to decide again in repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. And I want to encourage you to visit the Church of Christ in your immediate area. Amen. And I'll see you on the other side of the break.
There may be someone here. Pain. Just get on your knees and pray.
child that may be going through some trials and tribulations in your life. Your nights are filled with crying eyes, and it may have been that way for a very long time. But sometimes you're wondering what the answer is. Maybe you don't know whether to go left, to go right, to go forward or go backwards. But sometimes you just got to get on your knees and fall down, pray to Him. You just got to stand still and let God have His way. And watch Him work.
Watch God work.
Watch Him work. Yes, Lord.
Watch Him make a way.
Watch Him make a way. And one of these days, God is going to answer your prayers, not on your time, but on His time. He is going to make a way for you. Let the church say amen and amen one more time.
Boom.
You'll see a brighter day.
Are you going through storms
in your life?
And you just don't know how you're going to fight your fight. Are you having some dark nights?
Oh.
So dark that you can't even see the light. See, I've been there. Trust me, I know.
Till
soon. Wondering if I'll make it to tomorrow. Wanna have to go through it again. So let me share what I did. Oh yeah.
What did you do?
See, I got down on my knees and prayed.
Yes, I did.
Leaving all my worries and all my
troubles.
So I moved and let Him have His way.
Yes, Lord.
And in my days I know I'll see a brighter day.
Just watch God work.
Watch Him work.
Watch Him make
Watch
a way. Just when you make it through your storm,
on the other side,
see
a brighter day.
Just when you make it through your storm,
ooh,
you'll see a brighter day.
Ooh. If you make it storm, I know you'll see a bright day. Oh, the Bible says your weeping may endure for a night, but joy, but joy, it's coming in the morning. Can I get a witness? It will be alright.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with us this evening in a study of God's Word. I want to thank my special guest speaker, Steve Cordle, who's in the state of Florida and there in the eye of the hurricane, not in the eye of the hurricane, but there in the area where the Hurricane Michael is approaching, and it should make landfall tomorrow evening. And we want to continue to pray for those who will be affected by this storm. This is hurricane season, ladies and gentlemen, and these hurricanes are popping up all over the place. So we need to pray that people's lives will not be destroyed. And for those who've lost their property, even in the state of North Carolina, we were affected here a few weeks ago. And there are some people who have lost everything that they own. Their worldly possessions have been destroyed. So we just need to pray that their lives will be restored and their possessions will be recovered for them so that they can continue on in this life. Let's continue to pray for those who will be affected by these terrible storms. I want to thank also my dear brother Thomas Dickerson, who was in the Community Corner. That was a great presentation that Thomas had. I look forward to having Thomas back on the show in the future, because there's some good information. People need to be aware of how life insurance works, and everybody definitely needs to have some. So it is my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that the lessons that you heard on this broadcast this evening have been beneficial to your spiritual lives, and that your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened because you're tuning into this broadcast and you have given yourself over to a study of God's word. So until we meet again, I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives and that he bless you real, real good. Good night, everybody.
Oh, yeah. I'll go.
From the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler, episode 90.
I'll make you roll around.